When I mention about chaos, what comes to your mind? Chaos. Maybe it's for some people, you think about the chaos that we have in this world. The violence, the terrorist attack. Seems like everywhere. Big city, big country, like America, France, populous country like Indonesia, and even small country, Burkina Faso. I don't even knew that this country exists in West Africa. Yet, yesterday, 6 Canadians killed. Maybe when I talk about chaos, you think about chaos in economics. You know, that affects all of us. Oil price, chaos, boom, up and down, free fall. Stock markets, chaos, absolute chaos. Maybe when I talk about chaos, some of you think about just looking around us in society. Chaos in our society. Traffic, our Toronto traffic is definitely chaos, right? Racial tension. Yet I think among some of us, when I talk about chaos, you think about yourself. For some of us, at a personal level, maybe some of you experience chaos in your family. Just no peace. Maybe some of you is chaos in terms of like a kind of inner turmoil. It's just, you know, every day you're just spinning around like going nowhere. Think of like a mad race. People describe our life as a mad race. Going where anyway. Seems like don't know what's happening. Spinning the wheel like that mouse in a cage, running on a ruler. So when I talk about chaos, can anyone really can fix the chaos in this world? Which president of a country can fix it? Which person can come to fix the chaos in your family, in your life? Is there even possible to talk about from chaos to order? In the Genesis 1 account that I just read, it tells us that our God is the creator who transformed chaos into order. He created the world from chaos into an ordered, beautiful, good universe. Notice the big difference between chapter 1, verse 2, and chapter 2, verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 2 says, "Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." When you talk about the Bible, talk about the world at that time was formless, empty, deep darkness, the seas, you know, so mysterious, it's dark, no light. It's just described, actually the author is just saying that the world, the earth, was an unproductive and uninhabited place. Nothing can be produced. No life can survive. It's just a lifeless, chaotic scene. Yet, towards the end, chapter 2, verse 1, it says, after God intervened, thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. Talk about big tasks. Talk about the chaos in our life. Small potato. God created from the chaotic scene and turned the universe, the cosmos, into an ordered good place. Complete with vegetation, animals, fish, birds, and human. According to the rest of the Bible, he will one day restore the mess of our world and society. And today, I hope that today's sermon is let you know that God has the power to transform you, your life, your family, from chaos into order, if you let him. So today, we want to talk about focus. Genesis 1 is from chaos to order, because God has the power to do it. So let me do a summary. People says pictures worth a thousand words. It's more than a thousand words. So I use the best of my artistic ability to depict, to illustrate creation. Well, come on, I spend the time to illustrate. A totally irrelevant, no relationship between this triad and this triad. Okay, so try the people, your students at the front. You guys, use your thinking. Say it out. Kevin, you want to try?
The first triad is creating Earth, and the second triad is creating life, which is the moon and the sun. The creation of the moon and sun is not correspond with that. So I don't really know.
First is maybe like creating like Earth itself, and the second part is creating the things in Earth. I don't know, in the Earth? I don't know. Well, except for the four, I don't know why it's there.
Okay. No, you are not. You heard it all before.
Who else? Who else? But people. guessing just from the sermon, the first three are from changing chaos into order, and the last three are more creating things or creating life, except for the moon and the sun kind of doesn't fit, but everything else does.
Well, they are all from chaos to order. Let me give you some further hints. I thought it should be so obvious that maybe it's my illustration. Let's go look at it horizontally. Okay.
I think the first three is like God creating establishing the environment, and then the other three is, you know, God then places the right things in that environment to thrive.
Okay. You just say it how I pay you to say it. No, just kidding. Okay. I think... I think you can should be quite obvious that, you know, at the first place on this side is God created the location or the spheres. He ordered, prepared three locations, three spheres. And the second is where in this spheres God created the inhabitants. To occupy it, right? So light and darkness, and then God created the bigger light and smaller light to govern the sphere. And then God created the water, and the fish filled it, the air, the birds filled it. And then finally, the land. Have the land, the spheres, and the environment, and then animals, human being, filled it. And so the second triad is the spheres that house and shelter life. And it's filled with moving forms of sun, moon, and the living creatures. Or you can express it the different way is God here created the supporting, life-supporting system. You know, light, air, water, land, right? You need all this to support life. After the supporting system is in place, God created the life to fill it. So anyway, you can see it. God, in this vast, sophisticated universe, God definitely changed from chaos into order. God really made beautiful, good things. And you see, creation also reveals the character of our God. First of all, you notice that God, how did God make it? God made creation. God said, let there be, let there be. So God is with almighty power. The cosmos was spoken into existence out of nothing. And God pronounce, evaluate, good. A lot of cases. God saw that it was good. Everything, including the bounded darkness and sea, satisfied God's purpose. You see, even darkness and seas, that is so mysterious, like the song we sing, just saying, oceans. In the olden time, oceans is a place of deep darkness, afraid, people are afraid to it. You know, oceans is the scary part, yet it is still under God's control. Darkness is under control. And God produced and said it was good. Because God is completely benevolent, humanity has nothing to fear from creation. Because God created a place that is good for us. God is also good in bringing separation. See, God separate day and night, water and land, fish and birds. God has separated them. Boundaries are important in both the created order and in the social order. When everything keeps to its allotted space and does not transgress its limits, there is order, not chaos. But in reverse, when things get out of bound, out of order, then there's trouble. We just look around our world, our life, and I think most of you would agree that is the case. And God is also specially good to us human beings. God is good to you and me. Notice in verse 22, God blessed on the fifth day. God blessed the fish and the birds. But on the sixth day, did God bless the land animal? No. You know why? Sounds like not fair. God blessed the fish and the birds, but not bless the animals, the wild animals, the land animals. Well, I think for the simple reason is God don't want the animals to rule over men. God bless human, not the land animals, because people is going to rule over animal. And God's special favor, you and me, he says, let us make human in our image, in our likeness. Now, there are many interpretations of what this image of God is, and most of them are very meaningful. I'll just pick three from the theologians. Image may represent God's authority to rule, so that we, as God's image bearer, have God's authority to rule, to be the steward of his creation. That's the first one. The second one is by a German theologian called Karl Barth. And it says image represents relationship. In verse 27, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image he created him, male and female, he created them. Karl Barth was saying that in the image God created him, that following verse, male and females, he created them, is the explanation of what God's image is. Because God is in a relationship. Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's a self-sustaining, self-sufficient relationship. And God reproduced his image to you and me, human beings. And human beings is the only creatures in this world that have meaning in relationship. If you have no relationship with other people, you can live 100 years old, but you have no meaning in life. relationship because we bear the image of God. And the third one, theologian says, how we have God's image is because we are as free as God. Human beings have free will. Other creatures, they just act according to whatever God designed, ordained, instinct governs them, their destiny. But human beings, as bearer image of God, have the free will, the freedom of our God. So I think all these are good. So go back to today's sermon's title. Go back to chaos. Can we trust this God to sort out our chaos? You see, creation here is an account of from formless, empty, darkness, deep seas. And God formed it into an orderly progression, reaching to a climax that is Sabbath, rest. So this whole account lead to a climax that God finished, completed, and God blessed Sabbath, and God rested. And this is actually a foreshadow of how God works in history. We look around in this world, it's full of chaos. Right from the day that humans follow because of sin, disobedience, sin entered in the world, death entered in the world. And ever since, the world is getting chaotic, more and more chaotic. Yet God set his salvation plan in motion and in stages. And throughout the Bible, it's talked about God have a plan to turn this chaotic history, human history, into a climax too. God picked one man, Abraham. From this man, he make it in the second stage with a nation of Israel. From the nation of Israel, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, come forth. And from our Lord Jesus Christ's death and resurrection, the church is born. And the church is continued to fulfill God's salvation plan until the second coming of our Lord Jesus. And at the coming of our Lord Jesus, the Bible said, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So you see, history, human history, is also designed, foreshadowed, like the creation story is coming to a climax. And that climax is our Lord Jesus' return. And everything, the entire universe, every tongue confess, every new world will bow that Jesus is Lord. And that is already ordained. No more chaos. Final victory. Yet, today, we live in today. We are in the day before the second coming. You have to notice, even in this ordered universe, darkness and the seas still exist. And yet, they are under God's control. So today, we live in a world that darkness and evil exist. But we have to believe that God has the power to control it. Please turn with me, Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45, verse 7. Can everybody find it quickly and read loud together? Isaiah 45, verse 7. Okay, you find it? Let's read it at three. One, two, three. I formed. God says, I do all these. Light, darkness, prosperity, disasters. Everything is under my control. Everything is within my control. The God of Israel was identified as the creator and ruler of all things. And in the New Testament, Jesus Christ is presented as the creator and ruler of all things too. So we are trusting in our Lord Jesus, who came on earth, live among us. There are many, many examples in the New Testament who tell us this truth. Jesus Christ is the creator of all things. Let me read you three examples. Very familiar passages. You don't have to turn, read it. Just listen. John, first chapter. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Colossians 1. For by him, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones on power or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. Hebrews 1, the sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. So do you think Jesus has the power to transform your chaotic life? Do you trust him? You see, in creation, if you look at this, God has made things that some of them have free will, what we call volition. And some things that has no free will, non-volitional. For example, sun and moon. Sun and moon don't have a free will to say, I'm not going to work today. You just have to, by the dawn time, sun will come up, moon will come up, and disappear according to God's rule. Vegetation, animal migration, is that, oh, I don't want to go south, the bird said. No, you have to. Non-volition things, matter could not resist God's transforming power. God said, go, and you have to go. But to human being, God said, go, and people can say, no. God wants to establish his rule through volition beings like you and me, so we can either trust him to save us or reject him. You see, it's really up to you. You said you have a chaotic life. Do you think that God has the power? God clearly demonstrates he has the power. He's the ruler of all things. Yet the second thing is, are you willing to submit trust, and obey. Or you continue to be indifferent, to reject him. For some of you, maybe it comes to the most foundational salvation, is to receive Jesus' death on the cross, to receive him as your Lord and Savior. For some of you who think that, oh, I'm just running around, just work, I try to build up wealth, you know, so that I have a bit of security. And then you find that your life is getting more and more chaotic. You don't sense the peace. You don't sense a sense of joy. God says, honor the Sabbath. Don't forget, unless the builders build the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. We have to invite God into our life, into our career. And God ordained the Sabbath. He says, I want to ordain a time that you can remember me, honor me. And go back to the relationship. The chaotic scenes in your family, in your life, in your relationship, the husband and the wife, the father and the son. Trust in the Lord. Pray to God that God would change myself first. Seek help, talk, communicate, but above all, trust the Lord to transform your attitude, your perspective. God has the power to transform you. But the thing is, are you willing to allow him? Let us pray. God, you are Almighty God, and you are good, and we thank you for your wonderful demonstrations of your power in the scripture that we read today. May it give us encouragement that we can follow you, to trust you, to obey you, and you bring about transformation in our lives. Lord, even though the world is very chaotic, we know that you already have the final victory. So help us to live in faith, hope, and love. For we pray all this in Christ Jesus' name.